2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great. University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is another edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. I don't know what else to tell you. It's just been an insane day. It's been an insane 24 hours as we've been waiting to see. After Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley were both listed as questionable, and then it looks like Mike Conley might actually be able to go tonight. And Donovan Mitchell has been placed, Scott, I think it looks to be a game time decision according to sources, which means it's really close to being almost okay enough to be able to go. So we're going to start right there with the Utah Jazz and the shot of keeping everything going right here. It is the 705 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
You have the, by the way, brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Both number one seeds tonight are facing a 3-2 deficit against the higher seeded teams. Philadelphia right now up 8 against the Atlanta Hawks, who could close it out at home tonight. Same case for the LA Clippers at home tonight in LA. The Jazz are favored in this one. Scott Mitchell, are you surprised the Jazz are favored in this? Will you explain to me why the Jazz could be favored when nobody else here in the state of Utah feels like this thing is going any further than tonight?
Well, the other night was a gut punch. There's no question about it. And, hey, the Clippers played an amazing game. I mean, Paul George was amazing. And they shot the lights out of the basketball, and they made these just clutch shots. And I mean, they were tough shots, too. It was, you know, shot clocks going down. So my point is that the Clippers played probably out of their mind, about as good as they possibly could play, and it was still, you know, a close game. And the Jazz were kind of ugly. And now the question is, you know, the health of Donovan Mitchell, but you know, if Mike Conley comes back, it's certainly an added boost. And it's not over. I mean, they can still win it. You know,
I mean, the Clippers were down. Yes, I keep getting
in the
hassled.
Same situation.
I keep getting hassled about all this.
The injury thing is a hard thing to overcome.
Yes.
It just is. And it's hard not for today, but for tomorrow. I mean, the next series. And, you know, these players are just not going to get healthy till next season.
Well, that's the part where I'm like, okay. So let's say they force a game seven. Let's say they even eke out a game seven here back in Salt Lake City. And that Donovan Mitchell, his right ankle's still pretty sore, but they're able to kind of figure it out. And Mike Conley, he hasn't experienced any of that tweakage on the hamstring again. How on earth can they go forward knowing that neither of those guys are going to be 100% until the offseason? How do you – I mean, am I being a total pessimist, as I've been told all day, for thinking that the Jazz – I think that they could win this game tonight. In fact, all the money has moved toward the Jazz. That means people know something that the average person doesn't necessarily, and that is that the Jazz are back up against the wall. That makes a difference for, you know, looking at who might be favored for this one. So you have the energy of back against the wall. You have the possibility of your superstar and your best guard coming back, too. So you have Mike Conley possibly coming back and being okay tonight as well. So as people come across the street to the watch party, I'm interested to see if people are, like, really going to be rolling up tonight to want to watch that game here in person at Vivint Smart Home Arena on the big screen. And I just don't know. You tell me where the line is of making sure that you're able to play and making sure that you're not killing yourself with the injury that you already have, if you're Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, and I think these guys know where the level is. And as an athlete, you push that level. I mean, it's if you can't function and you can't contribute and help the team out, and sometimes helping the team out is actually being out there and – you know, it fires other guys up. They're like, man, this guy's tough. You know, we got to play harder for this guy. And sometimes it's like, this guy's a liability. And you know, Donovan might be close to that because it's just hard for him to guard and move laterally. And that's his game. His game is to drive to the hoop and it's to be able to move. And that's a frustrating thing to have happen when you know that's your game and you can't go to it. I do want to bring up a point here, and it's this. If you remember a year ago, and I'm not saying that this series is over, but a year ago, the Clippers, who everyone thought they were going to be phenomenal, they were ousted early, and Paul George was terrible. And so, you know, I know as frustrating as this is for this Jazz team, they're still a really good basketball team. And to lose in the playoffs because you have injuries, that's one thing, right?
Yeah.
Which I think is happening to the Jazz, you know, right now. I really do. I don't think they're healthy.
No, they're not.
So you can live with that at the end of the day. It's hard. It's hard to win championships. You got to have everything fall your way and the right way.
So is it worse to lose?
So this Jazz team is close.
That's interesting. So do you think it's worse to lose than, like, you were full staffed and you just didn't show up for these games?
Oh, there's no question.
So being injured, there's a little bit of a moral victory in the injured part.
It's palatable.
Write it down, Jazz fans.
It's palatable as a fan.
Feel good about that loss tonight because there was those injuries were involved. Because Scott Mitchell said there's a moral victory in some of the injuries. I get it.
Well, it's easier.
I will tell myself to feel a little bit better. Now, if you're using
that as an excuse, like, you know what, I wasn't healthy, you know. but you were out there playing and kind of thing. Now that's Donovan Mitchell. It's no excuse for some of the other, you know, Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles kind of, you know, having minimal effort. That's hard to swallow. Right. You know, go down, but go down swinging. And if you're willing to do that, then people can live with it. But if you're just kind of going through the motions and, you know, as they say, these athletes making all this money and that's the kind of effort. It's just hard for people to connect to and relate with and appreciate.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. You can text us 57500. That's the text number. Your predictions of the game, and I want to see what the X factor is. Give me a point total on the game with this Jazz Clippers game 6 tonight in LA. Jazz up against the wall, fine. Injuries. I think you're going to see Donovan Mitchell even. I'm reading a lot into a tweet he sent out, which was just all caps. Let's go about an hour ago. But that in my mind, I'm going. You wouldn't tweet anything if the doctors didn't clear you, if nothing happened. You wouldn't say just let's go just because. Maybe he sets it on game day just to be sent out, you know, as a scheduled deal. I doubt it. This is a guy who is an intense competitor. I think that's one of the great things that the Jazz get with this guy is an insane competitor. He's a closer. He's one of these guys that can go in and finish games. And if he's there and if he's playing and if he's 80% and Conley's 85 to 90%, I love how he put these like menial like just numbers on. What percentage are you? I'm 91%. Yeah. Well, what happened? Well, the hamstrings, I still have 8.5-9% of the hamstring doesn't feel great. I don't know. I mean, so I don't know where it's going to what's going to happen, but I bet that we see in the next hour plus at tip off, I bet you're going to see Mike Conley. I bet you're going to see Donovan Mitchell at least make a go of it.
The one thing the Jazz have is they just throw caution to the wind.
Yes.
Like at this point, you're just like, we don't care, right? We just, there is no tomorrow. There's no nothing. We just go out and play. And so, and a lot of times in those situations, you do play a lot looser. And a lot of times you end up winning. So it's not like it's the end of the world for the Jazz. And it's probably not completely shocking if they did win. And if they did win, that makes it really, really interesting here on Sunday.
Okay. Here's what the text said. And we brought this up in show prep. Okay, guys, remember Michael Jordan playing the flu game and still punking the Jazz? But the flu, I don't know. I have no idea.
The flu is different than a sprained ankle.
Right. That's what I was going to ask is, like, you can still go out there. Yeah. You can still go out there and elevate to the same level that
Where you don't feel good is in timeouts.
that's when it all goes away.
You have energy in bursts, right? And that basketball is just the burst. So he just, but the actual sprained ankle doesn't go away.
All right.
In the burst is you don't have the burst.
So,
right?
Again, moral victory. Michael Jordan's flu ain't got nothing on the ankle injury and the hamstring injury of Mike Conley. So there you go. 575-00. Give us your prediction of the game. 575-00. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Sam Farnsworth's going to jump on the phone here with us from KSL 5 Television, give us his thoughts. Man, it's just been a full day of emotions, a full 24 hours, a full, like, season of emotions for Jazz fans. Also, coming up a little bit later, in about 45 minutes, Greg Wrubell, voice of the Cougars, is going to join us and give us his thoughts on yesterday's media day. See exactly where BYU could find themselves in the next 3 to 4 years with all the changes that are happening in college football. Stay with us. More to go. KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
All right, folks, welcome back. Whoa, got a frog in my throat.
Yeah, settle down,
KSL's
man.
KSL's Unrivaled, Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. We have breaking sports news
for
you.
Yeah, some pregame jitters from you, maybe. Is that where the frog in the throat comes from? You get a little nervous?
A little nervous. Yeah, I get a little nervous talking live on the radio. I'm afraid I might say something that I'd regret later.
Yeah, the Jazz tweeted out less than 2 minutes ago. They tweeted out, it's official, Mike Conley will go in Game 6 against the Clippers down there.
Do you believe it? It's like,
no, he's going. I believe he's going.
I know it's been out for so long, but it's like, is that real or is it?
Or and the other thing is okay, is it worth it? Like, there's the part where you go, I mean, obviously he wants to play. Yeah, he wants to play too. And he even said the other night when he mentioned, I have so many times in my career put my health to the side so I could play. And so I know what that's like. I just have to figure out if I can make that happen this time, if it's going to work out. So Mike Conley is a go for Game 6. Still waiting on that official word for Donovan Mitchell, who is a game-time decision possibly for the Jazz tonight. So we haven't heard yet. So joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he is from KSL 5 Television. He is Sam Farnsworth. Sam, we just got that good news officially about Mike Conley. We all sort of suspected it, started to move that direction. What do we know about the possibility of Donovan Mitchell then tonight?
Well, they said he's going to, go through pregame warm-ups and see if he can give it a go. But what was it, about an hour and a half ago, the traditional pregame let's go tweet from Donovan came out, right? And so I'm reading into it as, hey, if it's up to Donovan, he is playing. He is playing in this game. And we kind of talked about it yesterday on the show, his post-game remarks from 2 games ago, how he said he does not want to go home again. He does not want to go home early again. So if Donovan has anything to say about it, and it almost feels like he's had plenty to say about it throughout this whole series so far, he's going to play.
I'm curious, Sam, would you feel better about a team exiting the playoffs where there were a lot of expectations, they didn't play very well, or they kind of said, well, we were injured? Which one would you prefer?
Oh, I think I'd probably prefer, as unfortunate as it is, the inability to advance because of injury, right?
Yeah,
because if you don't live up to expectations, man, that's kind of a kick, where. I mean, that's like that, you don't live up to expectations, and then you would look at the roster and be like, well, what are we doing? We just paid, we're about to, upgrade Donovan's contract to the max extension. Rudy's getting paid the max extension. What are we doing if we can't win? But there's excuses really stink. You hate to have excuses, but the Jazz have legitimate excuses. as to why they're not living up to the number one seed in these playoffs so far. And, you know, I'm talking almost as if it's over. We'll see. Game six is tonight. Mike Conley's a go. Donovan's probably going to play. We'll see what happens.
Let's say that that they can figure something out for tonight, get the win, send it back to Salt Lake, maybe even edge it out in game seven and miraculously move on to Phoenix in the conference finals. Then what? Because you have two, you have the conference finals and you have the NBA finals. How on earth could they be expected to hobble through those series as well?
Who knows, right? I mean, you just have to keep going with the same approach that you're going. Let's just try to muscle it out one game at a time, I guess. That's the only thing I can think of. And maybe if you do get to the point where you're able to advance out of this series and you're approaching a game one, you look at both Conley and Donovan and be like, okay, who can we go without for one game to give them the rest? And at this point, it would probably, you know, just based on what we've seen, you'd think, okay, can we sit Donovan for a game, at least for game one, see what we can do without him, and go from there. Because I still think Mike Conley at 80% is a really good Mike Conley. And if he can play at 80% without re-aggravating or slowing himself down any worse, I think the Jazz are still in a pretty good spot.
So Mike Conley at 80%, what does he bring to the game? I mean, how is he going to help the Jazz against the Clippers tonight?
So it's what they've lacked recently. I think he brings a lot more spacing to their offense. It's going to help with the ball movement, the rotation. They need to have that spacing. The pick and roll has not worked great in this series, I don't think, right? Mike Conley knows how to make that work. That brings that dynamic to it. He can shoot the ball as well. He's just an extra – and we've heard Joe Ingles talk about this and Donovan talk about it for the stretch that Mike Conley was out during the regular season, how much more difficult it is when they're bringing the ball up the floor because they don't have as – you know, normally the Jazz, they have like three guys on the floor at any one time that can bring the ball up the court. But they say when they're down even just one guy, especially for Joe Ingles, he says, man, they start to press me coming up the floor. They do that full court press, which is something you've never seen, and it wears him out quicker. So there's a lot of things that I think Mike Conley does for this Jazz offense. But primarily, I think it starts with just being able to get the ball moving around more and get the spacing that they need to create the offense that they are successful with.
Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television joining us, giving us a little bit of a preview of Game 6 tonight. Obviously, not a lot of preview goes on if you don't know exactly who's going to be in the lineup, but Mike Conley is going to be in that lineup. Mm-hmm. He and Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell both went out for their warm-ups, and they were going to base whether or not they were going to play kind of on those warm-ups, like you said. And then we get word about Mike Conley and then nothing about Donovan Mitchell. Like, is there that part of you that kind of goes, are they still evaluating him? Are they just waiting to break the bad news? You would think that they would roll out if both guys were playing. You would tweet that out maybe at the same time. I'm reading into this a lot. Everybody's reading into this a ton. But
yeah.
As things go on tonight, what's a recipe with no Donovan Mitchell, now that we know that that Mike Conley is playing tonight for sure? Donovan Mitchell's still a question mark. But if there is no Donovan Mitchell, then what do you do if you've got Mike Conley? And where do you go in this one?
You have to have more scoring. And I know that's like easier said than done here. Jordan Clarkson's been a decent scorer off the bench. He's going to have to score. Boyan's going to have to score. But the guys who will have to score, you know, with Mike Conley in, you'd want him to somehow get in the 20-point range if possible. But for me, the guys that have to step up and actually score, if Donovan's not there, I still got to see it from Joe Ingles more. And on the bench, I know George Niang isn't looked at as a guy who has to score. But when he does score, when he does make four or five threes in a game, it's a big difference. And we have not had that from him in this series. I shouldn't say we, you know, or whatever. The Jazz have not had that from him in this series, you know. And if he's able to bring that, and so that's one benefit. If Donovan does go and you got Mike Conley back in the starting lineup, there's a benefit to the bench because now Joe Ingles is back on the bench where he's more comfortable, he's more productive, and that bench needs more productivity. That it's been a real struggle when it's just Jordan doing anything for that bench. So if Donovan's a no-go, and again, Rudy, he's not always looked at as a guy who needs to score, but if
he's the only all-pro, he's the only all-NBA guy on the roster. We haven't even been talking about the guy.
Made him play.
Exactly. But if Mike Conley's in, Rudy's a better offensive threat. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So if Donovan's out, Mike Conley's in, Rudy, maybe that's the game plan they go with, is to try to score more underneath because Rudy can really you know, with the size differential that a lot of times he has against the Clippers, you know, he can succeed there, and he could pick up some of that scoring load as well.
All right, with all this insightful analysis and in-depth analysis about what needs to happen, will it happen? What do you think will happen in tonight's game?
Well,
what's your gut telling you?
My confidence is a lot higher with Mike Conley saying he's going to go. My gut will speak to me after I see the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game to see how good Mike and Donovan really are. Because if they're just playing because, hey, we're just going to put it all out there.
Sam.
Okay.
You can give me a score at the end of the game and tell me who won. I want to know what you think about the game. Who's going to win? Come on, tell me.
Guys, I'm not that confident. And it's man, you are putting me in a real tough. the fan in me believes that this team can win Game Six.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
All right,
we'll go with that.
The rest of your body hasn't
caught up.
Look, Scott and I, our stomachs talk to us all the time, and so we know how gut feelings are. We know how gut feelings go, and I would just trust our gut feelings a little bit more because we talk to our stomachs way more often. All right, Sam Farnsworth, KSL5 Television. You'll get the breakdown tonight on TV. JJ's down in LA, and Sam's covering things from up here. People streaming into the to the Vivint over here to watch it on TV. So I'm excited. There's at least some people who are believers. Even if it's not Sam Farnsworth. But the fan in Sam, he believes. Sam, yes. We'll talk to you later, buddy. Thanks for being on the program here.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's take the break. When we come back, boy, we got a lot more to talk about. Now our predictions are around the corner, and yours too. So I'm going to solicit some more text messages as well. 57500 is the text number. How do the Jazz win this Game 6 in L.A.? And if they do, what's that final score looking like? Give me the wins, the losses, everything in between. Tell me what this game is going to end up like down in L.A. 57500. We'll read those responses on the air. You can tell me why or why not it's going to happen. 57500. We'll come right back. News, traffic, weather right now. Stay with us on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unraveled. First hour of the program on a Game 6 evening. Jazz about an hour away.
Wait, this is KSL's Unrivaled?
Yes, it is.
Oh, I'm on the wrong program.
Well, what do you want to do instead?
There's
any other
nothing I would want to do more than to be here on a Friday night
talking
about sports.
Now you're starting to sound disingenuous.
No, not at all. No, I love our show. Yeah. You're kidding. I wish it was on the weekends, too.
Can you be disingenuous? What if you're ingenuous...
The genuous.
Is that double? Like, is that a double like negative? Genuous is very genuine.
Yeah.
No, don't be disingenuous, Scott. You love being here. We love doing this thing.
It's ingenuous? Is that what
no,
it would
it's
be?
No,
ingenuous would
if
be.
If you're gracious? No. Yeah. No.
You're just
no.
gracious.
Or, I mean, like if you're like actually being truthful about something or. Or you know, because that's the thing you're being kind of a fraud.
I'm being snarky or sarcastic.
Sarcastic, yeah. All those things. All right. Yeah. Philadelphia, they're the number one seed in the East. They're also fighting for their lives in a Game 6 tonight, and they're in Atlanta, so they're on the home court of the team who's trying to wrap this thing up. They're just trying to force a Game 7, just like the Jazz are going to do tonight down in L.A. So L.A. is playing the same sort of thing here. It's just interesting to see how both teams are handling this because the Philadelphia 76ers are the number one seed in the East. They've got these superstars on their team. They don't have the injuries that the Jazz do.
No.
So you just have the Hawks like playing out of their minds, and you have Philadelphia underperforming. And now that I'm actually watching this in person, and I know that Joel Embiid was not 100% at some point during the series, but he's in playing right now, and it's Game 6, and – I would much rather have the injury, like actual injuries, like Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley being the excuse. Not that you just had a great year in the East and then you blew it. That you blew it because that you weren't on the rise playing. You had your best weeks back in February, March, and April. Which, if the Jazz don't win tonight, it's the thing that everybody, Scott, has been hassling the Jazz across the nation who are not Jazz fans. You guys are fake. You guys are the team that. Is going to have the best record in the NBA, fine. But you don't know how to get it done in the postseason. And this is just going to prove those chuckleheads wrong, and I can't stand it. I can't stand that idea.
Well, what I always find fascinating is how people handle pressure. And when you're expected to win, sometimes it's for whatever reason it gets in your head and you just don't you can't perform at that high free flowing level. And then you get a team like the Hawks that really there was not a lot of expectation, or you get a team even like the Memphis Grizzlies, you know, who are this very young team, very talented team, mm-hmm. and of course Trae Young, he hits a four pointer, right?
Just, just
but it's kind of that thing, yeah. You know. Trae Young really kind of has grown up in these
31
playoffs
points and, with eight minutes left in the in the fourth quarter.
So it's really it's fascinating to me how teams deal with it, because really the other night, regardless of injuries or expectation, it just felt like to me the Jazz just did not rise to the occasion and win that game at home. And it looked like to me some of those players, the pressure of winning, the expectation of winning was just greater than they were. It just was. And so I'm curious to see where the Jazz are gonna handle that today, because those are the things that I think you need to vet out during the regular season, that you got to be these tough championship battle tested kind of teams. And maybe it just does take a couple of years for these young teams to figure it out. But the problem with the Jazz now is you got all these other young teams that are going to be good. I mean, Phoenix is going to be good. The Clippers are good. You know, I mean, next year it's not like, well, it's going to get easier than it is this year.
Philadelphia, by the way, only up 3 now against Atlanta. They were up by as much as 12 just a few minutes ago, but now it's back down to 3. I'm interested to see how the Jazz respond, how Jazz Nation has just been totally, I mean, just absolutely gut punched in the last few days watching this thing happen and watching the Jazz go from serious contenders. You think about them being up 2-0, Scott being up 2-0 in this series.
Yeah.
And the possibility of, well, Mike Conley, when he comes back in the next few games here, man, they're going to be really tough to stop. And then that ankle came back and haunted everybody. And it's just Donovan Mitchell, watching him not 100% is not good. Watching everybody else, you know, just say, well, that's why you're not a superstar, that's even harder because of, the circumstances that they're in. I mean, do you slight Kawhi Leonard because he got a knee injury that didn't look like it was that big of a deal, but now looks like it's pretty significant? Nobody faults somebody for the injury. At the same time, people are like, yeah, but when is this going to solidify here? When is this going to actually become something? When can you be a Jazz fan and it's going to pay off? Because it's been, 25 years or 22 years since you've been able to really watch this team go to a significant part of this postseason with the NBA. And I think that the biggest thing now is, after when everybody started to get super negative about the Jazz, it turned into it was a desperate feeling, because there's also not a lot of money now to throw around. You've thrown the money at the guys that you want.
You took a swing for the fences.
Yeah. And is this the best you can do? Obviously not with the injuries, but is this the team that's going to show up in the when do you lose to the 4 seed in the Western Conference semis and then go, oh no, but we were really this close? This is not close.
The thing is, in the NBA this year, most of the teams are pretty evenly matched. There's just not one team that's just so dominant over. Yes, the Jazz had the best record, but it wasn't by a whole lot of games. It wasn't like they were just head and shoulders.
It was one game.
Yeah, and so these teams are close, which is actually, I think, a good thing. I think it makes basketball much more interesting. I think, Alex, what if the Jazz win this game? What if they mm-hmm. win on Sunday?
Okay.
I think that would just be so hard for Jazz fans. And I'll tell you, because
although the Western Conference Finals feels a lot better than going out in the Western Conference Semis.
It certainly does, but it's like, I just feel like Jazz fans are just, they've just been
long
through
suffering,
the ringer,
guy.
You know?
Long suffering,
like,
my buddy.
Hey, we're up 2. Yay, we're excited. Oh, now we're down 3-2. Oh, it's terrible.
You think about last year being up 3-1 and having that heart ripped out as well.
It really is, and I think it's almost, yeah, I hate to say it, it might be better to be put out of your misery than to have to go through the emotional roller coaster of the up and down of a lot of these series.
Low scoring one here, 101-89. Jazz get the win down in LA with amazing defense. Another one, 113-110. The Jazz eke one out. This one says they're toast. It doesn't give a score. It just says they're toast.
They're out.
Give me a score. Otherwise, I don't know what that means. You know, they're toast. Does that mean they're warmed up? Their legs are feeling nice and toasty?
Yeah, what is toast, by the way?
Because like, I like toast.
No, I know. Toast is good, yeah. You know what's really good? Toast at breakfast, and you put that one of those over-easy eggs on it, and it's got butter, and it's just warm, and and then the yolk breaks as you're eating it. Just,
this is where you and I can't hang out.
I know.
Because I hate the yolk.
Oh, you hate,
I hate
the yolk. Oh, and some bacon?
Yeah, no, I'm a hard, I fry the egg hard, because I'm like a four-year-old, all right? All right. Scott, we got to take the break. When we come back. It's our MVPs. Keep those texts rolling in. I will read them. This one says, Jazz win if Donovan doesn't try to be a hero and overdo it. Matt, come on. Win if Donovan doesn't try to be a hero. We need heroes tonight. Who's going to be the hero then? You're going to let Boyan be the hero? Fine. You're going to let...
Hey, whoever can shoot the basketball and make it.
Watch George Niang get 32 hero. Points tonight. And everybody can shut up.
Yeah,
all
Joe
right,
Ingles.
We'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go. After our break here, we've got our MVPs right around the corner. Stay with us.
Amanda and I were both so excited to find out that UCCU...
The unrivaled MVP, Scott and Alex, crowned tonight's most valuable player, according to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex.
Most valuable player.
All right, folks, welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Curie. And yes, we have more breaking sports news.
Oh,
would you like to break it, Alex?
I want you to do it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Jazz. I think the Jazz are going to win tonight.
Hey.
Because Donovan Mitchell, let's go.
It's official.
It's official. He's playing tonight.
Yeah, the Jazz said he is available tonight. They tweeted it out, so he's available. Mike Conley's available. And
hey, I'm available, too.
I was going to say... A lot of available people out there.
Yeah.
Come on.
If you don't make me run up and down on the court, I can play.
The interesting
If I was just like a part-time player.
No, your knees are – you've got structural issues too, but you're a game-time decision. You're available.
Yeah.
You will not play, but, you know, you're available. But what I was going to say about this was –
I'm not even on the end of the bench.
What I was going to say about all this was I'm like absolutely – I'm torn on this decision too, because a lot of the reaction that comes in, I mean, on the one side you go, yeah, listen, let's have a basketball game where these guys are putting it out there on the line, and you know, whatever that means. However these guys can be healthy and play their best, even with their not 100% health, but still be able to give the Jazz the best shot. Great. But then there's that part of you too, because a lot of people responded with will you please make sure that you don't hurt him even more, right? There's the part where you feel like the team is going, you better play. Donovan Mitchell is the one who probably leads out. Mike Conley is the one who's going, I'm playing. And then the staff has to figure it out and go, we have to make sure. Warm up and we'll figure it out.
It's the type of thing that could really be a burst of energy for the Jazz. It really could, you know, regardless of how well these guys play, the fact that they're playing, the fact that they're in there could really be something special for the team, and,
well,
maybe a rallying point.
Well, let me throw it out like this
to kind of change everything in this series. It could happen.
Let me throw it out like this. Let me give you some different perspective here from my negative, pessimistic self that was coming out earlier in the show before Donovan Mitchell was listed as playing. The Jazz only have to win 9 more games, Scott, to be world champions.
Yes,
there
nothing.
You go, 9 more games. They had rattled off 6 games in a row.
They've won 9 in a row before.
Yes, they rattled 6, and you don't even have to win them all in a row. I mean, it'd be preferable just for the ankle situation.
Right.
You know what? Just win this one, sweep the other series, and then get into the offseason and stay healthy, would you?
That's all we're asking.
World champs and staying as healthy as you can.
Nine games isn't that many.
That's not winning 9 games in a row in the NBA playoffs. It's not asking too much.
No,
they had just won 6 in a row before they lost the last 3.
Yeah.
So, what are we doing here? Come on.
6 in a row would be
Let's
nice.
Figure this out. Here's what I really want to see happen. I want the Clippers, but really like guys like Terrence Mann and Reggie Jackson, to go back to being those guys who they were in the regular season. Like, I want those guys to be very mediocre. I want those guys to not have the Jazz's number. And if they can do that, and they can do it for the next 2 games, maybe they go on and play Phoenix. First 2 games, by the way, in that Phoenix series would be right here in Utah. So, let's go. All right, Scott, there we go. Those were the – boy, do you – here's the real question, Scott. Do you adjust your MVPs now based off of this recent news? No.
I mean, we can give a you know,
honorable mention. We just gave him a few minutes of honorable mention.
There you go.
So there you go. All right, Scott, roll out your MVP for us this evening, would you?
All right, Vinny Natoli, who was originally drafted by the Seattle Mariners from Xavier University in Cincinnati, is making his major league debut tonight at 30.
30 years old.
30 years old.
What about the old guy?
He finally got his shot to make it to the big leagues.
30 years old. Like, what? Give me some perspective on that. Is that like a 25-year-old going to the NFL for the first time?
Oh, no.
Is that like a 28-year-old going to the NFL for the first time?
Yeah.
So Taysom Hill, basically.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Think of someone like going in the military for 6 years and then going to college for 4 more years. I mean, he's in college and then he gets drafted. So he was drafted in 2014. So it's like 8 years ago.
How old was Dennis Quaid when he became a relief pitcher for Disney?
Similar type of situation.
I can't remember that guy's name, except but here, Dennis Quaid played him.
Yeah, but he was a high school coach.
Right.
So he spent 2 years in St. Paul in an independent league.
Mm-hmm.
He went in the winter to Mexicali, Mexican winter baseball. He was 1 month with the Arizona Diamondbacks. He was 4 months in New Hampshire. He was nowhere in 2020, and he was 1 month in Tacoma. So he's been kind of around the world, and he finally gets his major league shot.
That's pretty awesome.
Love that, and I can so appreciate these guys who, that's a long road to get to the major leagues. If you're a really good prospect, you're going to move up quickly. I mean, it's just going to move up quickly. So for him not to be able to do that is, for him to actually be able to do it is quite remarkable. Anyway, so I thought that was cool.
It's amazing.
It just reminds me of there was just a special moment in my life when I finally got to play in the NFL and you get your shot. And it's just such an incredible feeling. So when I heard this, that's just what kind of resonated with me. This guy's finally, and he's doing it tonight. His debut is tonight. So I don't know what's going to happen to him, but he got his shot.
So I'm betting this is going to happen. The Jazz game's going to get pushed back a little bit further, and here's why. They had a massive scuffle into the basket after Joel Embiid put an elbow up on Collins. It was an offensive foul under the hoop. And then I think Collins, when he went down on the ground, Embiid followed him down onto the ground. They both fell. And then I think Collins hit Embiid when they were on the ground, and then Embiid got up, shoved him to the ground. I think both those guys might be gone here at
Gonzo.
The end of this. Yes.
Gonzo,
I mean, I don't know what's going to end up happening, if they're going to end up. But, I mean, this will be significant because now the refs are going to have to pour through tons of video to see what flagrants are going to be, thrown out there. Could you imagine? We had Nikola Jokic thrown out at the end of – the MVP of the league thrown out at the end of game 4. Now, they were being swept. But if Joel Embiid goes out in this game when they're ahead by 6 points with 4 minutes left, could you imagine him being out in the last 6 minutes of a game 6 of an elimination game?
Well, we can't have that happen with the Jazz tonight. So everyone keep calm.
Rudy, now Rudy gets like a technical a game. Like, just like he gets a tech, he'll mouth off a little bit, gets a quick tech.
Yeah.
Sometimes when he does that, and then in the second half, I want him to remember that he already has that first tech.
See, what he needs to do is he needs to mouth off in French so they don't know what he's saying.
Oh,
he's
just see? Like,
parlez-vous français?
And if they say no, then you move right on to the big ones. You move right on to the big cuss words in French. And I don't know what those are except for a couple of them. And
hey, so poo-poo.
that's Yogi Bear. All you did was say... Hey, boo-boo, instead of boo-boo. That's then, all you did.
No, I said, they so poo-poo.
I know, but that's just like, hey, they're boo-boo. Scott, my MVP tonight goes to the Olympic Track and Field, the U.S. Track and Field Association, who has finally put the kibosh on the back and forth between Shelby Houlihan, who is – one of the best runners of the 15 and 5,000 meter runs in U.S. history. She was at the prelims, of course, and got eliminated because of the doping allegations that she had trace amounts of the performance enhancing substance Naldrolone, which she says she got in her system after eating a pork burrito.
Yes.
Which we had a
It does it every time. A pork burrito, man.
Every time I'm about to run 5,000 meters, I eat the pork burrito.
Yeah.
But the first thing that I saw from this was, now you said it yesterday, she's going to run. And she gets to run until the all of her appeals are exhausted.
Right.
And then they came out today and they said, we've got to say, we have to do this for the sake of our team and for everything else. You're not going to run. We're not going to let you run. So they're my MVPs for just saying, there are all these young people here. This has become a massive distraction. When this becomes the storyline of the prelims of running and getting ready for the Olympics, it's not a good look. And so they said, we're going to shut it down. You can't run. You had a good run. You're banned for 4 years. For 4 years. Are you watching this video? Joel Embiid put an elbow right in the face of Collins. Oh. They both go down to the ground. Some sort of a hit happens here. I can't exactly see what goes on, but it looks like somebody whacks somebody else, and then Embiid gets up and whacks somebody. This is not going to be a good look. And again, like I said, they haven't gotten back to action for the last 5 minutes. So this thing's going to be going longer, and that Jazz tip-off's going to be pushed, which means our conversation with Greg Wrubell coming up next on KSL's Unrivaled is going to be even better because we don't have to worry about the Jazz game getting in front of us. So stay right here with us. More to go. Greg Wrubell, voice of the Cougars, joins us next to talk about Media Day and all the things that go with BYU's announcements yesterday from Provo. Stay with us.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Things getting wild in Atlanta as we're watching this thing unfold and we're trying to figure out exactly. I mean, at the end of this game, it's gotten wild. The Jazz are going to be tipping off in about, I'd say 8 or 10 minutes because of this game being pushed. They might go into overtime, and then they might have to push it to, an ESPN2 or whatever.
Push it to tomorrow?
I don't know. You know what? Considering the injuries the Jazz have had, please.
Hey, right? The Jazz are playing tonight, though.
So the Jazz are going to be playing, and Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley are both confirmed to be playing this evening. And your Utah Jazz are going to be at full force, albeit their legs might not necessarily be at full go. They are definitely going to be cleared for tonight. And I don't know what that means for Jazz going forward into Game 6 and Game 7, but the breaking news, of course, tonight is they are going to be playing, and we're a few minutes away from this thing going off as well. Greg Wrubell, we're going to try to get him on the horn here. He's the voice of the Cougars. One of the things that we've been trying to understand about this BYU Media Day yesterday was, Scott, and maybe you can give me some insight too, because as teams start to look at this, I mean, as soon as the name, image, likeness thing has started to catch fire a little bit, we've noticed, and Utah did it yesterday, they immediately said, hey, we're jumping on board on this too. We don't know what it looks like, but we want to be on board with the name, image, likeness thing as soon as we can. And so to have Utah get on board the same day BYU did was a massive deal as well. Joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he's the voice of the BYU Cougars, Greg Wrubell, joining us on the program. Greg, thanks for being on the show, and quite a media day yesterday. Lots of announcements that weren't even necessarily directly football-related, but, boy, they affect a lot of things.
It was good to see you yesterday morning and good to be on tonight with you. Yeah, and first and foremost, it was nice to be back in the building,
yes,
right, for a media
yes.
day we didn't have in 2020. And it just means the start to a season. And last year at this point, we didn't know what kind of season there would be, to be played. As it turned out, BYU cobbled together a pretty good 12-game season. But at that point, it was all just hope and speculation. So to be able to have a structured, regimented media day again felt really good. And yeah, there was some news made. And while it's not truly all football-related, I think it's prominent relative to what BYU's doing in the national landscape with NIL forthcoming. It was a really kind of a four-step ahead for BYU. And, Kalani Sitake, he has the word built is pretty consistent in his mantras. He's had, built, not born. He's had the more to life foundation. Now the built for life foundation. Mm-hmm. And so I think Kalani has some great initiatives too that are personally showing up in different ways in the program. So it's an overall positive experience what we had yesterday. And it was nice to see, coaches and players circulating and talking X's and O's again. It had been a while.
Greg, it appears that this name, image, likeness situation, that BYU's got out ahead of it and really embracing it. And how do you see that as it unfolds? Does it help recruiting? Does it help? Where's the benefit for the program to have this and to be a part of it?
Well, I think the benefit comes in structure and in association and in partnership. By involving the Salt Lake Chamber, the Utah Valley Chamber of Commerce, and Silicon Slopes, those are three pretty good heavy hitters to have. From a local standpoint, and there will be more partnerships to come. But for students coming to BYU, student athletes coming to BYU, they have structure in place, and they can be assured that BYU will be ready. When the legislation passes and opportunities are truly, given in writing, if for lack of a better term, to these student athletes, to further their progress with branding and otherwise. And I think the fact that it's an initiative that goes beyond just NIL and beyond just branding and beyond opportunity shows that, Kalani wants this to be a pretty wide-ranging and comprehensive approach to a student athlete's experience at BYU. So I think what Gary Verone, the new associate AD, and Billy Nixon and the Build for Life program can present to student athletes is a real belief that that they're not just waiting for things to happen, they're helping things to happen for student athletes before the rest of the world maybe catches up to what's going to happen down the line.
Greg Wrubell, voice of the Cougars, joining us here on KSL's Unrivaled. Greg, the other big news obviously was at least the anticipation of the possibility of a 12-team playoff, which is the direction that this seems to be going. At least the traction is happening, which means they're allowing for these things to be talked about, which means that we might be headed there in 2 or 3 years. What does that mean for BYU? Because we heard Tom Holmoe yesterday referring to any possibility and any avenue that they could find themselves in a better spot to get to that college football playoff. They're going to find that way to get there. Is that a G5 join that you see happening in the next couple of 2 or 3 years for them to be able to be in a better spot to get into the playoffs?
Well, I have a couple of thoughts on this, Alex, and the first one is this: if BYU were to stay independent, a 12-team playoff gives an independent BYU the best possible chance to be in the mix. That's the first thought. The second one is BYU wants to be a part of what we call a P5 conference. Now, it's true that the P5s, if the current working group recommendation gets approved, all P5 in top six. And so once you open it up to top six conference champions, Suddenly a really good G5 has the same kind of heft and the same kind of entree as a P5. And now suddenly you wouldn't necessarily have to hold out for P5 membership to feel that you're getting a P5 chance to play with the big boys around New Year's Day. That's a big distinction. If they simply say top six conference champions, well, then the ACC conference champ or the Sun Belt conference champ or the Mountain West conference champ has as good a shot as anybody else of being in the playoff. And so that kind of changes, in a lot of ways, what the expectation would have to be for BYU to play in those biggest games. If you can do it some other way, you don't necessarily have to have a P5 say, come join our league. There might be other avenues. And so those to me are the two main takeaways, that whether as an independent or joining a conference other than a P5, you might still have an exponentially better shot than you currently do have as an independent. But I think ultimately, top-tier athletics and top-tier football is what BYU wants, however you want to define it.
Let's get to football.
I mean, Scott's so mad right now with all this administrative stuff.
I think it's awesome for BYU, whether they're independent or in a conference, there's a real shot to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think that was the case in the past. And so that it really changes the dynamic because you can set up a great schedule in independence and you have a great relationship with ESPN. So they're independence all of a sudden got real sexy. So I'm just curious. Who's going to be the quarterback? Come on, you got to know, Greg, and you can tell us. We don't tell anybody. No one listens on a Friday night, so you can tell us. Who's going to be the quarterback this year? Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I really do believe Aaron Roderick in the things he says, and he's able to, list off positive attributes for three they appear to be three very different quarterbacks, right? And you say skill set and style of play, BYU might have to adapt for whoever they choose to be their starter. But Aaron was, I thought, rather maybe drilling down on this point yesterday, that they're not as different as you might think these three guys are from each other, and that either of them can win in the style BYU hopes to play. And so I think that's saying, if it's Jaren Hall, he doesn't have to be running around every second down to be effective. And if it's Jacob Conover, that doesn't mean he can't run around and be effective. And so I think what Aaron was underlining was similarities more than differences, yet we've seen with our own eyes Baylor Rondi and Jaren Hall in previous performances, each of the different ways that make them exceptional candidates. But I think it's fair to say, as an overall all-around athlete, you know, Jaren Hall presents a unique package among the starting candidates at BYU. And not to say that he'll be given more of a shot than anyone else, because I truly think it'll be an open deal. But I think BYU played some of its best football in 2019 after Zach Wilson went out, when Jaren Hall was kind of firing on all cylinders.
Greg Rubel, voice of the Cougars. Greg, we're going to have you back on when camp approaches, and then we're going to ask you the same question. And so we appreciate you joining us on the show. And go Jazz! Wherever you're watching the game, we appreciate you being on the program here with us, Greg.
Guys, thanks. Anytime.
All right. Taking the break here. Aaron Roderick said it. He's going to try to figure out how to split up those reps. Excited to see how that happens. We're going to take the break here when we come back. Our weekend.
All right, sports fans, welcome home.
Yeah, welcome home.
Welcome home. Welcome to our home, which is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Currier. Michael Jordan owns a boat.
He does?
Yeah.
He takes everything serious. He's like an intense fisherman, right?
Right. And so they have these tournaments. It's kind of a thing in North South Carolina along the southern part of the Atlantic seaboard in the United States, you know, Georgia, Florida. And it's really fun. I've actually, at one point in my life, was a little bit involved in it. And the tournaments.
What does that mean, involved?
Well,
you're involved in the boat?
A father-in-law of mine actually was one of those fishermen.
Ah.
And fun stuff. And they win a lot of money. I mean, it's like.
Sure.
The tournament that I think Michael Jordan's boat is in right now is like $1.4 million total prize money. I mean, it's a big deal.
Sure.
Outer Banks of North Carolina.
OBX.
Yeah.
Everybody says the Outer Banks is cool. I've only been to South Carolina and like done Hilton Head and all that stuff.
Well, that's.
Is it basically the same?
That's beautiful. That's where my daughter lives.
Hilton Head?
She's just north of Hilton Head.
Oh, my gosh.
Not very far.
We go
She's
there,
in Charleston.
We're going next
which
year
is,
again.
Which is, Charleston's amazing.
We're going there next year again.
Yeah.
Go to the Salty Dog Cafe there in Hilton Head and enjoy some seafood.
There's a lot of that out there. There's an ocean right out your front door.
What I like about it is because here's the deal. I hate to diss on California again, but here we go.
But let's do it.
The beaches in California are not nearly as good as the ones out east.
No, not even close.
Not close.
No.
And listen, I love my Pacific Northwest. But the water's cold and the beach is not really a thing. It's like mostly rock.
It's
beautiful. I love Puget Sound.
No, it's got its own romance.
But there's a thing about being able to like actually ride a bike on the beach because it's just packed down sand.
Right.
And the horseshoe crabs look like they're straight up out of like they're a dinosaur. You know, like when you see their little imprint there and the
these
things are messed up looking.
Yeah.
Anyway, that being said, I'm going next year, Hilton Head. I want to make you
jealous. Enjoy yourself.
I hope you do. Can I get that time off, by the way? I'll just
put it okay by me.
Like you're the vacation.
Hey, and by the
guy.
Way, you know what? We should give a shout out today.
To whom?
Nathan.
Oh,
Nathan Dowdle is a birthday boy.
Our boss.
Yes, happy birthday, Nate Dowdle.
Nate, we appreciate you. Love to see you again sometime. Here in the building. No, he's here in the building, but we're just here at different times. That's the only thing.
Yeah.
Scott, it's that time of the night, of course, where we get to a weekend What Are the Odds? Now, it's a simple game. I'll explain the rules after I hit the old button here. Let's do it.
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen. Probably. What are the odds?
All right. So here's the deal. So what are the odds it's played like this? We give you a scenario, and you give us the, I'll give you one, Scott might give me one, whatever. But we go through and we say, all right, what's the, what are the odds that this thing will or will not happen? That's how What Are the Odds works. And extra bonus points, and frankly, it's become a requisite item of the program to give a jersey number that goes along with the guess as well. Yeah. So,
and I like that twist on the game. I think it should become a permanent rule.
Yeah, no, I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
And the guests will come on and they'll go, oh, I don't really even know. I don't know a number seven. And you'll be like,
really?
Move on. Yeah. Then get another gig, yeah, man.
You should not listen to sports radio, yeah, if you don't know number seven.
Well, it's not just that. Just like, have you watched games before? Come on. All right, here we go.
That would be a fun game to start.
Just start throwing numbers
just
out.
Just throw a number out, and you got like so many seconds to say a name.
Yeah, so here's what we're going to do here. So I'll throw one out here. What are the odds? Now, we were just on the horn with Greg Wrubell, and the at least the shift in momentum has gone from BYU not talking about really moving on from Independence because, you know, there hasn't been any movement on the Big 12.
Because nobody wanted him in.
No one in the P5s are really inviting him. And
it's all about TV money.
That's right. And BYU kind of has this interesting niche where they're like, we're kind of okay in this spot. But I think that with the 12-team playoff, obviously it looks a lot better to go into even a Group of Five conference. So what are the odds that BYU joins a Group of Five conference so that they can have that better playoff access in the future, Scott?
I think it's, you know, the timing of the TV stuff happens probably when the timing of this playoff thing happens. I think it'll be super exciting. I think people go, why did we not do this sooner? And I clearly it does give BYU a chance to make the playoffs, no matter where they are, Independent or a conference. So they may find that Independence is pretty good, but I give it a better than 50% chance. I'll say a Mark Eaton 53%.
Okay, that's a listen. Yeah. I like the tie-in.
Paying homage good. To
and other, it's yeah. a, obviously mentioned Jazz mentioned tonight.
Yes,
I'm going to go with a. Let me see here. Because I think it's a pretty high situation. I just don't know when. Oh my goodness! See now, I'm going to go with a bogey 44%.
Oh
yeah,
because so you think it's less.
Yeah, and I mean it's still high. It's higher than yeah. you know. But I just
not
think
quite
that
a 50-50.
I think what's going to happen is at some point you're relying on other schools. I don't think you just one-off join. I think going with a Boise State, going with an Air Force to like the AAC or something like that, then you're relying on other
kind of hold hands. Let's
yeah.
go together.
And I think it would
our
be
first
good.
Day of school. Here.
Right. I think it'd be good there. I think it'd be good for that. But
they're gonna have their name pinned on their shirt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, we're BYU.
I was talking with somebody at BYU yesterday who remained nameless, but they were like, "What about San Diego State going to the AAC too?" So you basically have a coast to coast conference.
Whoa! Why don't they call it the coast to coast conference?
Listen, I'd be in.
I like that. You know, Coast to Coast was a hardware store.
Yeah, it was also that Ghost and Alien show on the radio. Remember
oh,
that
no,
one?
That. George Norrie, man.
That was sponsored by,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, you want to listen to something that just.
Listen, I worked in night radio my entire career.
Oh, it's so good.
I would
so
drive
good.
Home at night and I'd dive in on my, you know, my midnight drives home.
I believed it by the time I got home.
I never believed it. What I always thought was funny was just George Norrie be like, so the alien, what, I mean, when he said that to you, what did you do? He's like so serious about it.
Yeah, he never shuts them down, that's for sure. All right, can I give you one?
Yes.
Let me give you an odd. Yeah. What are the odds? All right, this is really simple, straightforward. Yeah. What are the odds that the Jazz win tonight?
It's like so much movement in the direction of, and I'm not necessarily a believer in it, there's so much movement in it, and I mean it's just underway, but I'm gonna say it's Vegas puts it a pretty good odds, so I'm just gonna go that direction. I'm gonna go in Ilyasova 77%
chance.
Oh my
goodness.
Ilyasova.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was Kirilenko's number? Oh yeah, he was a 47. He was an AK 47.
AK 47.
Do you wanna go that low? Or?
No. You know what I'm gonna go? Mark Eaton, 53%.
Oh, there you go. I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the odds that you or I, when we get home and watch the end of this thing?
See, I'm over this right now.
Oh, you're over.
Well, yeah.
What
I'm
do you
over.
Mean you're over.
Well, I'm over emotionally. I'm so spent emotionally.
You put your brain.
I'm kind of indifferent.
I
right
know
now.
That because what happened was the other night, Jazz Nation was furious. Yes. And it was like, I don't think I can overcome this. And now it's turned into that, whatever that fifth stage of grieving was. Right. It's like
indifference,
acceptance. Yeah.
Acceptance. Yeah.
I got beat up today.
I haven't accepted it yet.
I got beat up today so bad. People saying, you're so negative. You're just a pessimist over here. You don't want to give the Jazz a chance so they don't have a chance? I'm saying they have a chance. The problem is I don't want them to have a chance in the Western Conference semifinals. I want to have a chance in the finals.
In the finals.
Yes.
And that, the injury and just, thing is challenging.
That's
it just, it
the
just
problem.
Makes it really tough. All right, I'll give
what
you.
What are the odds that you or I break something tonight?
Okay, I'll give you my odds.
And not a chair, because we've been losing weight, so I think right. I think that those odds are a lot lower. Now.
I break a chair just sitting in it without being angry.
Getting mad.
I actually try to sit very nicely and it just still breaks. I tell you, that's something that's disappointing. When the chair breaks and you sit in it, it's like, it happened at my sister's house. I'm sorry I broke your chair.
Oh, back in...
No, actually in Tucson.
Oh, I was going to say, because it's the Netherlands, a European chair.
Yeah.
I'll break that looking at it.
Right. All right, I'm going to give this Mark Eaton 53%.
Oh, I like it. Now, here's the thing is, I don't know... I don't do this kind of stuff. I don't do the reactionary break stuff. I might break my kid's heart and go, son... this team is never going to go to the finals. Right. You know, I might say something I regret
right.
about the Jazz.
Yeah.
So I won't actually break anything.
Say something
physical.
Out of anger.
Yeah, I will definitely hurt some feelings towards Jazz Nation.
I speak loudly too.
I'm gonna say it's a Rajah Bell 19%.
Oh,
yeah. I threw a 19 on there for you, Scott. That's the end of this. I thought we had. A lot more time, but we don't. All right, let's take the break. When we come back, Utah Warriors rugby had a chance to interview their coach and one of their players. If you're not familiar with what they're doing at Utah Warriors rugby, listen, we have a rich history in Utah of rugby, and we have national championships at BYU. We have national championships at the high school level, and now we have a major league team here in rugby, and you do not want to miss what's going on with them. They are having a fantastic season. We'll have a chat with their coach, one of their players next. Stay with us.
Sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell, Alex Carey. Hey, if you missed part of our show, don't worry, because you can download the KSL Sports app, get our show, get every minute of it, and you're going to want to get the next few minutes of it, because we got a fascinating topic to talk about here with Warriors rugby. Anyways, you get that app for free, and we like free things, don't we, Alex?
Absolutely. So
if you get your COVID shots, you get free Krispy Kreme donuts, too.
You know what? Just tell them Scott and Alex sent you, and they will give you that COVID shot for free. Here's how we're going to do it here. I've asked these a couple of our guests to come on from Utah Warrior Rugby. Utah Warriors, of course, we've had a couple of guests on in the past, and this has been a banner year for the Warriors because this has been, I mean, they've had some amazing last couple of weeks. They've got some new kit, a.k.a. jerseys for you people out there going, what the heck is a kit? That's what Scott asked me beforehand. But you know what? That's if you're in rugby or soccer parlance, you've got to get used to it. So joining us on the program, the interim head coach of the Utah Warriors, Sean Pittman, and Lance Williams, also one of the players, of course, on the roster here with us. So guys, thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having us. Thank you for having us.
I'm gonna start with the player first. I'm gonna go with Lance first. Lance, I want you to describe like what this year has been like for a lot of folks who don't know what Utah Warriors rugby has been like and how well you guys are doing this year.
It's been awesome. It's been a great experience, great journey with all this COVID thing going on. You know, we slightly got past that barrier of with everybody thing going on with COVID and everything, and the seasons continue to go on. So. Hats off to all those guys behind the scenes and, you know, the caretakers and stuff like that. Just keeping us players and staff safe. But it's been a great season. A lot of ups and downs, but it's for the past few weeks, we've been doing great with all the coaching staff and all the staff behind our strength and conditioning, our athletic trainers and stuff like that. So everybody's been going well. It's been a great season so far, and we continue to do well through the past few weeks.
Sean, Scott Mitchell here. Hey, I'm curious. You guys are in second place in the Western Conference, and I'm sorry, third in the West, and or no, you're second. You're second all around. No, third.
Scott wants to know where you guys are on the table.
I don't really care where you are right now. I just want to know where you're going to end up and what you need to do.
Oh yeah, so we're second in the West right now, and I believe we're third overall inside the whole league. So it's been a great past few weeks here, and we've been with all the boys over here working hard and stuff like that, and putting in the time and effort with all the coaching staffs and too as well. So it's been a great. Right now, it's been a great season for this year's for the Warriors.
Utah Warriors, of course, as Scott mentioned, you can stream the matches on our KSL TV app and our KSL Sports app as well, and so you can catch those and not be one of those people that goes, "Where can I find these matches?" Just go and get the KSL TV app or get the KSL Sports app, and you can stream those. Coach, I want to ask you a question about anytime the interim tag is put on somebody, you've got to prove yourself. It seems like you've done so far. What about the pressure that it is to be an interim head coach, and how have you liked Utah so far?
Well, I mean, I absolutely love Utah. I've really enjoyed it. And it's been, it's become basically a second home, Seattle's home and, well, the Bellingham's home in the Pacific Northwest. But, we've been here, my family, my wife, Sarah, my two little girls, Parker and Lane, we've been here for, over a year and a bit. And we've really loved it and enjoyed the community and just the people that are from Utah. So it's been amazing to come down here and just feel so welcomed. And with the title of interim, there's really no, the person that I am, and Lance kind of knows it, is like, I didn't put undue pressure on myself. We have an amazing staff. We have amazing coaching staff and support staff. And the main priority is the players, and we have amazing players that can produce on the field, and it's been great to be able to take the helm and drive the program in a really positive direction. But again, that's not just me. That's like the players have wanted the change for so many years, and especially the guys that have been around for so long, like Lance, they kind of put their foot in the ground and they've basically driven the program forward over this past couple months of season.
So Utah's got obviously a rich history of a lot of rugby knowledge, a lot of background. It's still taking that little bit of time to get back in that mainstream. We lived just right down the road from Highland High School when it was going through its massive push and being one of the national powers. And you're starting to see other high schools even in the area that are doing that. How awesome is it to see for you guys, Lance, when you see local kids picking this thing up and carrying that torch of rugby becoming more and more popular, more and more mainstream?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah, so we've been it's for those guys, the young generations and those young high school kids coming up, if football doesn't work out, there's always, rugby here. And for the community here in Utah, rugby is a very, it's very popular around here. And especially with, you said, Highland Rugby, Harriman Rugby. So these guys, we have a couple of high school kids that are on our academy team, with the Warriors, and these guys been putting in work too as well. So the day in and day out, these guys come in, we watch their practices sometimes before our practices, and they also had a game a week ago. Yeah, they had a game before right before we played. So these guys, they've been going so well, and the community here with the Warriors, collaborating with each other with the community, it's just been great. Great, awesome. So, Brandon Sparks starting this program with the.
Tell me about this Yosepa, this special Yosepa kit you guys have too. I mean, obviously you guys have this kind of main black and red colors, but this sky blue and white that you're seeing from these special kits. Everybody loves the change up of jerseys in every sport now. So, why don't you guys tell me what the history of the Yosepa kit is and how important it is for you guys?
I think it's massively important to kind of show the heritage of what rugby is, and especially the Polynesian community that's made such a lasting impact in rugby around the world, and especially in Utah.
No, it's just what hit it right on the right on the head. So it's just collaborating with the Poly community, and with this, the blue and white is awesome. Everybody's
you know, on social media, I was like just like very icy, right? Like, so it's a very like contribute to all those, you know, hardworking and behind the scene guys, and you know, contributing to around the community as the Yosepa jerseys. It's like it's awesome. So we still have those four stripes that mean a lot to us and a lot to Yosepa's organization with family, community, and stuff like that. So it's been awesome. It's been awesome.
All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. Go to their website, WarriorsRugby.com. We appreciate you guys joining us. And Lance Williams, Sean Pittman, both of Utah Warriors Rugby. Coach, Lance, we appreciate you guys hanging out and giving us a couple minutes. And we're looking forward to what you guys are going to be able to do on the pitch. And good luck the rest of this weekend. I know you guys have at least a couple weeks before you come back home. So we're looking forward to it.
Easy. Yeah, thanks so much.
All right, we'll take the break here when we come back. We've got more to go here on KSL's Unrivaled. Stay with us. More to go right here. You can always hit us up on podcasts, find Unrivaled, download the episodes if you miss anything live, and we'll be right back. More to go right here on KSL News Radio.
All right, sports fans, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey. Hey, it's Father's Day this weekend. Want to wish all those fathers out there a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to you, Alex.
We have 11 kids between us.
We got
and one. Yeah. Well, I mean, not between
we
you and I.
We got a football team.
Yeah.
Well,
And one grandchild between us.
Yes, and one grandchild.
That's the newest addition. That's a good job for you.
Hopefully, buddy. It'll be a while before you have grandkids.
Yeah, boy.
But, you know, just hoping. But along with Father's Day, of course, comes the U.S. Open, which I love the U.S. Open.
Is that the marker of kind of like, is it always like around Father's Day? Is it always the end?
It's always the weekend of Father's Day.
Ends the weekend of Father's Day. Yeah. Interesting.
And it's had some great moments. For me, I've always appreciated my dad in sports and being related to that. That was always a special bond with me and my dad.
Yes.
So. Kind of a cool way. I like how the PGA Tour does that. And of course, you think of Payne Stewart, who was one, and he was a father, and of course, tragically died after that. But Phil Mickelson was becoming a father for the first time, who he beat. And that's what Payne Stewart said to him. He said, "Hey, you're going to be a father," you know, and that was a cool thing. So,
I think about all the garbage golf stuff that's given away on that's the dads get on Father's Day. I appreciate golf balls.
The garbage stuff?
Yeah. It's just gotten to be a weird thing where golf stuff ends up just being like the go-to Father's Day thing.
Is that what you get?
I mean, sometimes, and I'm not that into it. So
I love getting golf balls, just so you know.
Golf balls, that's what I said. Golf balls I can always use.
As long
golf
as,
balls,
right, I can have it. Good golf balls. Not those ones that are clinky, you know, like
the Kirkland Signature.
The distance balls that are basically like hard plastic.
Long and soft, yeah. Huh? Okay, sure. Thanks, golf ball company. Yeah, so
I'm funny about golf balls, too, by the way.
No, you are, because you're picky about weird stuff.
I have to have – there's only one golf ball I can hit.
What is it? The title is Pro V1.
Yeah.
It's going to be $3 a golf ball. Otherwise, I won't hit it.
It's like $4.50 or more for a sleeve.
Yeah. All right. I like it when it just has a KSL logo on it, because then I got it for free. That's usually
Well, any logo you're getting, yeah.
Scott, it's the time of the night. Of course, we're wrapping things up on a Friday, and we're rushing home to watch the rest of this Jazz game. My heavens. But we play this music first. We talk about stuff that was not necessarily on the docket before the show, but stuff that we wanted to talk about during the show, maybe, and it didn't. On a night where we're, you know, talking about the Jazz, had Greg Rebell on, all those things, we just couldn't sneak those into the regular portion of the program. And so the two-minute drill, Scott, explain what the two-minute drill is.
But late in the football game, you got to go down the field, kick a field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so they hurry. Our show's the same way. Got a lot to talk about, not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. Hurry up, finish the show, go home happy because we get a trophy. Everyone gets a trophy. And we get, what do we get, a Krispy Kreme donut? I'm just going to cut the rest of it. Are you over the Krispy Kreme?
I'm over it, yeah.
Okay.
No, because you and I can't have it, and so I'm not going
to. Oh, so we just don't want to talk about
it? Move right past it.
You are losing weight, by the way.
You are, too.
Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah. Like right now? Is it coming out of my face? Like, is it losing out right now?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, just
like, you might want to pick your pants up. Scott, first one on the, this is a golf topic. This is one you wanted to get to. I'm actually fired up about this, too. You wanted to talk about Bryson DeChambeau. Before you get to that, about Bryson DeChambeau. I was wondering why. So the PGA said we're not gonna pair these guys because it's become too much of an issue. Everybody's worried about it. So if it comes down to it, and if these guys are your leaders, we're not gonna pair them together because it's too much of a distraction. And I asked you, well, what's the deal with that? And what was your answer?
I don't think it's a distraction.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You were like, yeah, they think it's going to be...
Oh, no, the tour thinks it's
right.
going to be...
Right, they're like, eh, these guys are playing for money, it's
like
they don't want it to be a problem.
Right. I mean, you said it beautifully, actually.
These are professional stinking athletes.
People take pictures of them now, and they aren't distracted.
But
cell phones are allowed. It's like,
what are we going to do? The only time I want guys to win championships is when they're going head-to-head in an awkward situation against their competitors that are distracting them, that are all these things.
Golf needs trash talking.
And golf is looking for they give money to guys who
golf
boost
needs
that image.
A personality.
Give it to
golf
them.
Golf needs a... Because Brooks Koepka does not have a personality.
He Bryson DeChambeau for sure it's is the personality.
It's the perfect Laurel and Hardy, like Brooks Koepka is the total straight
man. He's the straight man,
and the crack up is of course
right. DeChambeau,
who is clowny.
And
he's kind of funny.
Me. It bothers me because in all the other sports we have, we aim for that matchup. We put that one on Sunday night. You know what I mean? That's the one we want to see is, look at this awkward situation between Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. Tom Brady said, I wouldn't do what Aaron Rodgers is doing. Well, guess what? You're going to be on Sunday Night Football together. That's the way we schedule things. Anyway.
But here's the best part about it, whole thing.
What?
In spite of the fact they didn't get to play together.
Yeah, and they won't get paired on Sunday.
No.
Yeah.
Bryson DeChambeau photobombed.
Yeah,
Brooks
he video
Koepka.
Bombed him again.
See,
I
just,
love your laugh.
I just love
it. Wandered back. Remember the one he walked by with his metal cleats? And by the way, everyone hates his metal cleats. Bryson DeChambeau. So he's doing an interview with the Golf Channel, and Bryson DeChambeau walks by like he's playing third base for the Yankees in 1970 with these big clunky metal spikes, and they have to stop the interview and start from the beginning because it was so noisy. And so he did it again, today?
Yeah, he did it. He did it in the and he did it with a smile. And this is what, look, when you get under somebody's skin, you get under their skin. Like, you don't let up. That's just what you do.
Did the Knicks and the Pacers, did they kick Spike Lee out of the games when he and Reggie Miller were going at it? No, it was showcased.
No.
It was showcased. And you know what Reggie Miller would do? And you know what Reggie Miller and Spike Lee did? They had a boundary, obviously. You don't cross this boundary. But, man, the trash talk was there. I get it. It's not golf. Golf is, a gentleman's sport.
So is the boundary like the fourth wall?
Yeah, I guess.
There's like the side walls, the back wall, and the fourth wall.
Yeah, in Spike Lee's case, it's like you got to be 5'5" to cross.
Don't
this,
look into the camera.
Boundary.
Yeah, and really, how serious can you take Spike Lee, though?
You can't. Yeah. You can't. Next up on the old 2-minute drill here, Scott. Chicago mayor wants the Bears to focus on beating the Packers, not moving to the suburbs. Now, what's this about the Bears moving to the suburbs? They're doing what a lot of teams are doing, which is bigger facilities, more space, a little further out from the city itself. That's kind of a normal thing now.
Well, most people live in the suburbs, and it's kind of inconvenient. It's really hard to go into the city, and there's a lot to be said. Chicago's not a great place to go visit downtown. I have a really good friend who lives there. He goes, you cannot drive your own car into Chicago. It will get carjacked.
I've driven an RV multiple times down Michigan Avenue. And
so why do you want to fight all the traffic and go down there?
Yeah,
you just don't.
You don't.
You don't. You want to, and the players live out there. And it's like I actually didn't like that driving into the city for the game. It's just I don't know, whatever.
So when you would go and play in Chicago. Did you have a sense of like history though? Like, hey, I'm going to Soldier Stinking Field.
It was
field
the
right
first. So my rookie year, first preseason game, first time in any NFL game ever was at Soldier Field,
and that was just like
it was epic. It was just a preseason game, and I'm looking at Mike Singletary, and I'm looking at
you're like tearing
Soldier
up.
Field. Yeah, I was. I was starstruck. But then in the background is the skyline. So you got the Sears Tower and a lot of the building. Because I didn't see big buildings growing up in Utah. And I hadn't been to a big city ever. So seeing that was just, it was incredible. It was amazing. And I went 8 for 20. And I was there. I was there. Very first preseason game. And I remember getting out there and realizing this is just football. I played my whole life. So in losing, I kind of found it calmed me down. And after that, I was fine. But that first preseason game was a rough one for me.
I think getting in there and people realizing, like, there's that imposter syndrome. Like, some people have the big enough ego to go, oh, yeah, no, I've belonged here. But then other people are like, this is meant for other people. Like, I've only ever watched other pros doing this.
Right.
And you have to just mow right past that and go right to the confidence area of it. It's interesting. That's where Zach Wilson, I think, is one of those guys that doesn't have to
You know what helped me with it?
What is it?
I was like, all of these guys play college football.
Yes. Like, and you were amazing in college.
Yeah, so it wasn't like they just were born pros. They had right. to grow into it.
You were the Gatorade high school football player in Utah, in your state. You were you've set records that will never be broken at the University of Utah. What's the problem? Yeah, there you go. All right. Scott, let's get out of here and watch some Jazz basketball.
Let's go throw something at the TV.
Hey, for a Friday night weekend edition of the program, for Scott Mitchell, I'm Alex Curie. We'll see you next Monday, everybody. Go Jazz!
Millions estimate their benefits online, so they can do what they want offline. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
KSL FM Midvale, KSL Salt Lake City.
9 o'clock at KSL News Radio. I'm Jason Tulin. KSL's top stories this hour. Some cities in Utah are already banning fireworks, but others are saying they can't because of how Utah's law is.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.